Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us to this new day, this new week. And this morning we thank you for the country in which we live, where we can gather in your name and proclaim your gospel freely. Allow us to enjoy those blessings while remaining dependent on you for each and every blessing we receive. Bless the hearing and sharing of your word this morning as we declare our dependence on you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at some verses from Psalm 33. We sang a few of those verses. I'm certainly welcome to pull that out. The message notes in your worship folder provide the verses we'll be looking at as well. Psalm 33, verses 10 to 19. When you hit the beginning of July as Americans, it's certainly natural to think about the founding of our country, July 4th, 1776. And every July 4th after that, for Americans, it's been an important day. As the Declaration of Independence was signed and the birth of a new country called the United States of America was formed. And for the last 242 years, we've enjoyed as a country many blessings for being part of the United States of America. And we look back, and as our family thinks about a trip out to Washington, D.C., and you think back to some of those founding fathers and individuals who had input and discussion and those that gave their lives to form the country that we enjoy today. And when you think about the ideals of the country that we live in, where those that founded it wanted to make sure that the rights of life, liberty, and happiness, the pursuit of happiness, were preserved for every person who was a citizen of this country. And as a little bit later, they formed a constitution which would guide the governing of this land, of the people, by the people, for the people. And you can look back, and among all countries of the world, present or past, the United States stands out as unique. And standing for 242 years with different challenges and different threats, it is certainly the grace of God and the mercy of God that allows us to continue and to exist. And so the 4th of July weekend, I pray that it's an opportunity for you to reflect on the blessings that you receive as being a citizen of this country. But perhaps as you think about the country around us, it's not just with a peaceful heart, but maybe sometimes an anxious heart, especially the longer you see history unfold and you see maybe what was and what is now, there are some anxieties that we think about as our country is today, and maybe as you think about the future, what it will be in the future. And maybe some of those anxieties, I know some of the current ones on our hearts as Americans are immigration. How is that going to affect our country? Who should we let in? How should we let them in? Maybe we think about peace around the world as we're in talks with North Korea. Is that going to hold? Is it going to go back to more of a tensious place? You think of countries that we still have armed services in the Middle East, and will they ever be able to come home, or what's the solution for some of those areas around the world? We think of the ups and downs of our financial markets and economies and trade wars, and maybe some of these things cause anxiousness in our hearts and our minds. Maybe we think about the future of healthcare or social programs. Maybe we reflect on the prominence of Christianity or the acknowledgement of God or the lack of it in our country. And some of these things cause some anxiousness in our hearts. And we realize, as great a country as we live in, it's not a perfect country. And maybe there are days you think, well, if I was in charge, here's what I would do to fix the place or to make things better. And so as we look at a day in our nation's history, and we as Americans acknowledge it, our Declaration of Independence, and that's kind of an ideal as Americans, right? We're independent. We're free thinkers, free markets. We have a say in our government. We don't like dictatorships. We don't like people telling us what to do, and there's an appeal to that of being independent. That before we take that to the extreme, and even though we enjoy our independence as members of this country, to remember to declare our dependence on the Lord. Because as we'll see from the psalm writer that was written hundreds, thousands of years ago, that nations have plans. Nations have a level of strength. And it becomes very easy to declare our dependence on those things. But as we'll see, that rises and falls and isn't always the most sure thing to depend on. And so as we, again, marvel and are blessed by the country in which we live, let's be reminded this morning of where our ultimate dependence and reliance come from. So three things I want to gather from the psalm, and we'll take the psalm a few verses at a time and talk about each part. First of all, verses 10 and 11 of Psalm 33. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. You know, it's interesting. I'm not a super world history buff, but maybe just enough to reflect on this passage and say there's many leaders of many nations and many countries that had plans to be a world empire, to have a country that would last forever. And now we go visit the ruins of those nations. And we read about their history in history books. And the nations that had grand plans and grand design to be a world power, world influence, now are just a thing of the past. Every nation has it. Our founding fathers in America have had a plan for this country. And the fact that we still enjoy living out that plan 242 years later is a reminder that the Lord is allowing it to continue. Because as the psalm says, the Lord foils the plans of the nations, he thwarts the purposes of the peoples. As the phrase goes, man proposes, but God disposes. We see that in nations. We can also see it in our own lives, right? How many times have we made plans, and then the plans didn't quite go as we thought they would? And we think we got every detail, every T crossed, every I dotted, and we got the plan laid out. And then something occurs, and that plan is torn up and shredded and has no relevance anymore, because we know that the Lord's plans are the ones that will ultimately prevail over our plans. Don't get me wrong, I pray that the United States and the freedoms and the liberties that were part of our founding will be here for generations into the future. And as American citizens, to the extent that we can preserve and protect and be part of promoting and passing that on to the next generation, let's do it. But I also want to be realistic that the United States of America as it exists today may not be here when the Lord returns. But I know if that's the case, the Lord's plans ultimately prevail. And when you think about the Lord's plan from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, what did he desire? What was his plan that has not been thwarted and that has not gone away for thousands of years and generation after generation? And that was to connect his love and his grace to the hearts of people and to know that they had a God who loved them and cherished them, forgive them, and includes them in his family. And his desire, even when he formed the nation of Israel, was that they would have a country that was governed by his love and his justice. Now, that one wasn't his plan for every country and every nation on the world, but it was for Israel. And through that nation, God brought about the culmination of his plan in his son Jesus to bring about ultimate forgiveness through his life, death, and resurrection on the cross. That has been God's plan. God's desire is that all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That transcends any nation, which is kind of the cool thing about being part of God's kingdom, is that God's kingdom doesn't just exist here in Georgetown or in Texas or in the United States of America. It exists around the world wherever the gospel is proclaimed. And in whatever country, at whatever time, in whatever place, God's plan has not changed. So if we think on what to declare our dependence, we can declare our dependence on the Lord, if you're filling in your first blank, his plan stands forever. His plan stands forever. And while the plan and purpose of the United States to promote those liberties of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the plan of the Lord is to promote his gospel where we find eternal life. We find true freedom from sin, death, and the devil. And we understand what life is really all about. Living under the leadership and love of our Savior Jesus. You see, that's God's plan. The plan of the Lord stands forever, and that plan will stand through every generation between now and when Christ returns. So if you want to depend on a plan, if you want to bank on a plan that is going to be carried out, it's banking on the plan that God included you in when he washed you clean in the waters of baptism and changed your heart by the power of his word and affirms it through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, connecting you to his name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to his saving grace in his body and blood. And so that's why we can declare our dependence on the Lord. Governments will please us, and governments will disappoint us. Governments will rise, and governments will fall. But the Lord's plan stands forever. The psalmist goes on, verses 12 to 15. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. This is a phrase, a scripture that I hear quoted quite a bit. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let me ask you, how do you measure whether a nation is blessed to determine that their Lord is God? Does that make sense? How do I measure this passage playing out? You know, we could look at our country and realize that we have physical blessings beyond that of many, if not all, countries. We as Americans, what we call poverty, is still rich by the world standards. We have incomes and material wealth. While there are some certainly that don't have much, by and large as a country, is that a measure? That the Lord is God of the United States because we have those material blessings, is that the measure? We could look at the stock market and it's up and down, but it's at one of the all-time highs in general. Is that a measure? Is a level of peace within our borders, is that the measure of blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord? You know, it's interesting to think about it. What things do we measure God's blessing to determine, okay, God is here, God is part of this country? Because sometimes when you look at the opposite, if the material wealth of this country went away, would that mean that God is not the God of this country? Would that mean we're not blessed? I don't know if I have the exact measurement, but let me propose this. How do I determine the blessing of the Lord on a country? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Notice that the psalmist doesn't say, blessed is the nation who has a lot of material blessings from the Lord. It doesn't say, blessed is the nation who has the perfect weather from the Lord. It just says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let me ask you this. Do you think a nation is blessed when more and more of its citizens know Jesus as their Savior? Do you think that blessing comes to a nation when God's Spirit is at work in the hearts of the people of that nation? Do you think a nation is blessed when individuals in that nation answer to and follow the leadership of the Almighty God? I think that's what the psalmist is getting at. We don't measure God as the God of this nation because it has peace, prosperity, liberty, etc. But God is the God of this nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people have been given faith to acknowledge that God is their Lord, their leader. The danger of mixing those up is I start to measure how much God loves the people of this country based on how many material blessings God gives this country. Or I begin to think that if there's more peace in our nation and there's less division, then God certainly must be in this country. I'm not saying that God couldn't choose to bless our country in those ways. But I know his ultimate blessing comes to people and comes to groups of people when the rule of the gospel is at work in people's hearts. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. While the people of Israel could look at this directly and say, yes, he chose the people of Israel, but we know that wherever God's Spirit is at work in the hearts of people, those are whom God chose. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. You see, what the psalmist is talking about is what God is doing in the heart. And yes, I look at our country and I see people drifting from Jesus and not acknowledging who God is and the missing out on the blessing of being connected to their Savior. And I desire that God uses each of us to take that saving message of the gospel and proclaim it and use it. We have freedom to do that, and we can share it. The second point, declare your dependence on the Lord. His blessing is sure. You see, when we depend on the Lord, his blessings are sure. Will it always be the blessing I want? No, but I know that when God is the Lord of my heart and my life, he is my Father who knows how to give good things. And even if that goodness comes through a challenge or a tragedy, as we talked about last week in the storms of life, I know that blessings that come from him. I don't know where the stock market will be tomorrow, a year from now, 3 years from now. But wherever it is, I know that I have the blessing of the Lord as I depend on him. Verses 16 to 19. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. Our third point, declare your dependence on the Lord. He watches over us. He watches over us. You know, sometimes we think about the future of our country, we think about the threats to our nation and the threats to our livelihood and the threats to our ideals. And in the recent past and in the present, we have those threats through terrorism, ISIS. The current topic is the southern border and build a wall or don't build a wall. We look at putting more money of our nation's budget into military and having the best of the best in regard to equipment and trained personnel. And again, we can have debate on whether that's the right thing or wrong thing. But there's perhaps for many hearts, when you have a strong military and you know that whatever someone else throws at you, we're good because our button is bigger than theirs. Right? There's something that gives us a little bit of peace to know that we have the ability to protect ourselves. And when we feel vulnerable, when those enemies get within our borders, that's where we have a level of anxiety. So if we just depend on that for the peace of heart and the peace of mind, I don't know if we'll ever completely find it. Because the psalmist says, no king is saved by the size of his army. I think of in our vacation Bible school just a couple weeks ago, we had the story of Hezekiah, who was in Jerusalem, and the army of Sennacherib was surrounded the city. And the people in Jerusalem were greatly outnumbered. There's over 180,000 soldiers around the city of Jerusalem. And by every military measure, the Assyrians should have besieged Jerusalem and easily overtaken it. And so the officials of the Assyrian army were very confident and in essence said to the people of Jerusalem, Hezekiah, give up because we're stronger, we're bigger, we're going to take you over. So you might as well give up now. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord for deliverance, and that night the army of God went to fight for the people of God, and that 180,000 army lay dead the next morning. And the few that remained retreated, and Jerusalem was spared. It doesn't matter the size of your army. So we don't want to declare our dependence. While we're very grateful for every man and woman and their families who give their life and service to our country and protect our borders and protect our interests overseas and wherever they're directed to go, don't get me wrong, I love and appreciate them. But finally, our dependence is on the strength of the Lord because he's the one who watches over us. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him and on those whose hope is in his unfailing love to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. You think of what might have come to mind to the Israelite as they fled from Egypt after that 10th plague and the army of Egypt pursued them, and before the Israelite camp was the sea. And on either side were cliffs, and the army of Egypt was coming up on their backside. They had nowhere to go. And the people started crying out, saying, you brought us out into the desert to die, because they knew the army of Egypt was stronger than their army. They had just fled with what they could carry. And they had cliffs on either side and a body of water in front of them and the army of Egypt closing in behind. What did God do? Moses goes, stretch your staff over the sea. And God parted the sea. And a pathway that seemed impossible now became a possibility, and the people crossed over. And as soon as that last Israelite was on dry ground on the other side, God brought the waters of the sea together and wiped out the army of Pharaoh. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance despite all its great strength. It cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are those who fear him. Why do we want to declare our dependence on the Lord? Because he is the one who watches over us. That's our third blank. He's the one who watches over us. He's the Almighty. He's the powerful. So on this 4th of July weekend, let's truly treasure the country God has given us. And I want to encourage each of us as American citizens to be involved, to take part, to add value to our country. That's part of our responsibility as a citizen of this state, of this country. But to always keep it in perspective that ultimately let our hearts be dependent on the Lord. So that as our country goes up and down and things we like and don't like, our heart can still be at peace because we're dependent on the Lord. And we know that He is bigger than any country. He is stronger than any army. And He has more blessings to give than any government could dole out. So this Independence Weekend, let us all as God's people declare our dependence on the Lord. Amen. May God's peace that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.